Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still in our study here in Quran chapter 7 as we continue with the story of Prophet Moses, or as Muslims say, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. Don't forget that Muslims believe that Prophet Moses is one of the five important prophets in the Quran. He is real good, as Isa as Muhammad, and he is the one who received the book of the Torah from Allah. Today, we will look at Quran chapter 7 and verse 145 as we will investigate the Torah. Yes, the books of Moses which Allah revealed to him. As we investigate the tablets. What tablets? The tablets which Allah gave to Moses, which includes the entire Torah. Well, without further ado, let us look first at what is written in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 145 to 147. For there we read, and we, that is Allah, wrote for him, that is Moses, in the Alwah. The word Alwah is a non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin, which means boards. From everything, a sermon and an exposition of everything. So take it with strength and command your people to take the best part of it. I will show you the home of the transgressors. I will turn away from my signs those who are proud on the earth without the truth. And if they see every sign, they will not believe in it. And if they see the way of guidance, they will not take it away. And if they see the way of error, they will take it away. This is because they denied our signs and they were unaware of them. And those who denied our signs and the meeting of the hereafter, their work would be in vain. Will they be rewarded except for what they were doing? Obviously, when you read verses in the Quran like these verses, you can't help but laugh. The person who wrote these verses in the Quran had to be so ignorant of the true biblical accounts, the true writing of Moses himself, or so stupid, for what he wrote is not logical at all. So now let us expound on these verses to see how many errors there are in that small passage of Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 145 to 147. First of all, in verse 145, Allah said, and we, that is Allah himself, wrote for him in the Alwah. It is Allah himself, not Moses, but Allah himself. And what is Alwah? It is a plural word which means three boards or more, because that is the accurate grammar in the Arabic language. It's actually the word we use for boards made out of wood, not of any other material. And we're going to prove to you later in our study today that they were not made but of wood, and the proof of that, they were not broken when Moses threw them to the ground. Notice, what did Allah write on these boards? He wrote from everything a sermon. So everything you can imagine was written on these boards. And an exposition of everything. Once again, sermon, that is what imam will teach from the pulpit of a mosque or a preacher in a church. That is what Allah wrote on these boards. But it's not just a simple sermon. I'm talking about exposition of everything. Wow. And then Allah told Moses, so take it. What is it? It's supposed to be take them, not take it. Well, that's okay. Muhammad forgot what he said earlier, from the pronoun plural to the pronoun singular. Well, it is just a simple error, not a big deal. So take it with strength and command your people to take the best part of it. Wait a minute, take the best part? Are you trying to tell me that there are other parts who are not good or maybe even bad in this exposition of everything Allah is writing to Moses? Yes, indeed. So now Moses took the sermon of Allah, which had everything everyone needs, and he's given it to his people, the Jewish people, and he's commanding them only to take the best part of it. Forget about the rest of the good and the bad parts of it. And then Allah said, I will show you the home of the transgressors. For heaven's sake, what does the home of transgressors have to do with the sermon which Allah gave to Moses, which includes an exposition of everything? Don't worry, these are just words put together in the Arabic language to make the beautiful poetry of the Arabic Quran, and no one of all those who read the Quran or even those who memorize the Quran will ever think about asking any questions about it, and life goes on. In verse 146, Allah said, I will turn away from my signs those who are proud on the earth without the truth. So there's some miracles here, but Allah will not allow the prideful people to see these signs, so they will never know the truth. But then Allah contradicts himself by telling us, and if they see every sign, they will not believe in it. Wow. So Allah is saying he will turn the people away from his signs, but at the same time, they still see all these signs and they still will not believe. Continuing with verse 146, and if they see the way of guidance, they will not take it away. Man, you see what's happening here? It is the work of Allah. Since Allah chose for these people not to believe in him, even when they see the way of guidance, they will not take that way of guidance as a way to live by. Continuing with the verse, and if they see the way of error, they will take it away. Wow. So when they see the way of guidance, they don't choose it, they don't live in it. And when they see the way of error, they choose it and they live in it. This is because they denied our signs and they were unaware of them. Excuse me, Allah, excuse me. Aren't you the one who turned them away from seeing the signs? Aren't you the one who led them astray? And now you tell me that it was their fault? You see, my friends, this is what I call internal contradiction to prove that Allah cannot be God. Well, let's move on to verse 147. For there we see the following. And those who deny our signs and the meeting of the hereafter, their work will be in vain. What work? Whatever they do. Why will their work be in vain? It's very simple. Because they deny the signs of Allah. Why did they deny the signs of Allah? Because Allah turned them away from seeing them. And even if they see it, they will not take it. That is the circle of confusion of Islam. Then Allah ended that passage by asking the question, will they be rewarded except for what they were doing? Which means they will be doing the wrong things, and they be rewarded for the wrong things by being punished in hell, because that's exactly the will of Allah to all of them. My dear friends, it's very simple. If you study the ideology of Islam, if you study the theology, or I call it Allahology of Muhammad in the Quran, you'll find that there is not a sin you or I or anyone will commit except that it is exactly what Allah wanted us to do. You see, the Jewish people now are hated by Muhammad. And when Muhammad write to us about Moses and his people, in the second part of his life, after they rejected Muhammad's message, after they rejected Islam, it is nothing but negative. Allah gave Moses the best sermons, and he put these sermons on these boards, and he asked the Jewish people through Moses to pick up the best of it. But at the same time, Allah chose for them not to pick up the best of that sermon. Why? Because Allah wanted to lead them astray. Allah wanted to fill hell with them, because that is the will of Allah all the way, 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 way back when Allah created Adam and his wife. He said, surely I will fill hell with human and jinn. That's why, as we read in these verses, if these Jewish people the children of Israel see the right guidance, they will never take it. But if they see the wrong way, the way which will lead them to eternity in hell, that is exactly what they pick. And no matter what they do, everything they will do, it will be in vain. This is because simply Allah chose for them to do so. This is the reality of what the Quran teaches about the words of Moses and Allah's writing on them.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now let us look at what Ibn Abbas, that is the first cousin of Muhammad, wrote to us about this wonderful teaching of the Quran. First, he gave us the interpretation to verse 145. That is when Allah said, and we wrote for him, that is Moses, on the alwah, the boards, from everything a sermon and an exposition of everything. Ibn Abbas said that Allah wrote for Moses on these boards. As he quoted in the hadith, that these boards actually came from paradise. Listen to that. The length of each one of these boards was 12 cubits, that is 18 feet. But others said that they were made out of wood. Yes, indeed, like I told you earlier, the word alwah, it is used in the Arabic language to mean that they were made out of wood. And it was said that it was made out of green precious stones. But others said that these boards were made out of some red precious stones. And other scholars said, it was said that it was an emerald that Gabriel brought from the Garden of Eden. As you see here, my dear friends, Muslim scholars do not know what they're talking about. This is not interpretation. Once again, this is fabrication because they are given us so many different materials which they claim that these boards were made of. Wait until we see what the Bible said about these boards. As we continue with the rest of Muslim scholars' fabrication, or as Muslims say, interpretation, they stated that Allah ordered Moses to cut these boards from a rock, a hard rock, which Allah made it soft for him, that he was able to cut it by his hand and literally spread it to boards by his fingers. Ibn Abbas ended his interpretation by telling us that Moses heard the scratching of the pen. That is, when Allah Almighty was writing on these boards using his pen. Now let us ask a question. How many boards were there? Ibn Abbas said that there were actually 7 boards. Remember, each board was 18 feet long. And we do not know how wide these boards are. But we continue with the second opinion, as stated by Ibn Abbas, that there were actually 10 boards. But we have another opinion, which that they were 9 boards. What a great contradiction.
As we have seen so far, there are many different opinions about what these boards were made of and where they came from and the color of the boards and the number of the boards. And I can tell you how always Muslim scholars end their interpretation. It is the famous words, and Allah knows best. Anyway, so now I say to you, my dear friends, that Allah did not know too much, and everything we have written in the Quran was simply errors. And here is the true record of what is going on with the two tablets, which were made out of stone. By the way, when you go to Muslim scholars, they will tell you that the tablets did not break when Moses dropped them to the ground, because obviously they were made out of wood. But here is what Moses wrote by his own hands in the Torah, which Muslims claim to believe in it. For according to the account of the book of Exodus, Moses has spent already 40 days with God on the top of Mount Sinai. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 31 and verse 18, we read the following. And when he had made an end of speaking with him, that is God speaking with Moses, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets. Notice two, not seven, not nine, not 11. Two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Yes, there were two tablets, the original one, and God is the one who wrote on them the Ten Commandments. Now, if we go together to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, beginning from verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other they were written. Now, the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablet. Then in verse 19 we read, so it was as soon as he, that is Moses, came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Now we know for sure that the tablets were not made out of wood, but of stone. That's why they broke, which is the opposite opinion of the Muslim scholars claim that the tablets were made out of wood and they were not broken. And to prove that the tablets was made out of stone and they were actually broken, we have to go together to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Beginning from verse 1, we read, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. It cannot be any clearer than that. Moses broke the first two. Now he's cutting two new ones. And once again, God will use his fingers to write the Ten Commandments on these two tablets. They were not made out of green or red or whatever color of some precious stone. And the stone did not come from the Garden of Eden or the paradise, as Muslims claim, but it was simply two tablets made out of stone, and God wrote the Ten Commandments on them. You can also read the same account once again in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Remember now that Muslim scholars told us that these boards actually had sermon. Remember, the word of Allah said in Quran chapter 7 verse 145 that Allah wrote on these boards, plural, 7, 8, 9, whatever the number was, from everything, a sermon and an exposition of everything, which by the way led many of so-called Muslim scholars to believe that these boards had the entire Torah, the first five books of Moses. But that is not true at all. How do we know that? Let me share with you what was actually written on these boards. Here is what is written on these two tablets according to the book of Exodus chapter 20. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image.
you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your day may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is what is well known to the Jewish believers and to the Christian by the Ten Commandments. By the way, you can read the same passage in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. I'm amazed that Muhammad did not know too much about Moses, nor the Torah of Moses, nor his Ten Commandments. And the proof is very simple. As we examine that which is written in the Quran, the command of Allah in the Quran for Muslim people, how they ought to live, who sees that they are actually living in disobedience of every one of these commandments. But sadly, Muslims do not know that, because all that they have been taught all their life, that they believe in Moses and they believe in the book of the Torah, when in reality, nothing of that which is written about Moses or his Torah exists in the Quran, but once again, it's simply the opposite. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next podcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.